Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
Sunday was Father's Day.
Sunday was Father's Day.
We talked. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Two days after. What'd you do? Did you do anything fun?
So we went hard on the lake Saturday.
Okay.
And everybody got kind of toasty.
Yeah.
And so Sunday it was like, let's go back out to the lake, but let's wait until like four. And so we spent the whole like late afternoon evening on the water.
Yeah. We went up to Longview because Layla wanted to fish and swim. So when I take her, it's like swim for a couple hours, fish for a little bit,
yep.
Swim for a couple hours. Dude, I was fried.
My
stomach is bright red.
I bet same thing. Longview's better to fish on the weekends because they have those sections of the lake where boats, where like wake boats can't
Yeah, where
go.
No one can go. Yeah.
Like, I think I'm allowed to go there. It would just be suicide because there's a lot of stumps
you'd never
and it's shallow.
Ruin your shit
yeah.
doing that. There's one at Longview, and people listening aren't going to be able to know this, but across from where you put in, there's like a little bitty cove.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's all brush piles. Like, there's like 50.
That one actually has buoys running across it that says like no ski or something.
It's the one that one's one down from that.
Okay.
But this one is like just they made that whole cove so you could go in there and fish and crappie fish. Well, it's the party cove up there now. Like, and it has been forever. So we're fishing like outside of it. Layla's like catching fish all day. Well, it gets pretty gangster.
Yeah.
And I don't, when I mean gangster, I don't mean racially.
I just mean
it's gangster music.
They're playing gangster rap and there's
like,
chicks in bikinis shaking ass.
Dude, some stuff I had never heard before, like
spit
on me when we boop.
Oh,
and I was like, we got to go.
Yeah.
And Janine's like, what? I was like, are you not listening to the, like, to be honest, I was into it. I was like, man, you know, I'd like to just, like, if it was Joey and I, we'd have just rolled around that corner and fished, like, right next to him.
Oh, yeah.
And been like, hey, I got a 12-year-old little girl. And I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. Oh, we did almost, I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. So first thing we get there, we go over to, they have a swim beach, like all our Jackson County lakes have.
Yep.
So we're out way past the buoys, and Layla wants to swim, so we're going to swim. This fucking drone is flying around. I'm not shitting you. It's not big, maybe the size of your laptop.
Are you allowed to run drones over a swim beach?
I don't know. So, well, it's out past the buoys. Well, and it's looking at us. And so I'm waving at it, you know, no big deal. And I'm like patting on the motor, like, bring it down here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he brings it down, like, just out of my reach. I'm thinking, I'm going to grab this fucking thing, and I'm going to smoke this thing.
Yeah.
Well, so I look over at Layla for like 3 seconds, and I fucked up. I missed it. It comes down like eye level to me. I could have reached over and grabbed that thing. And then goes forward, misses Janine, hits our swim flag, almost goes in the water and takes off. And I was like,
damn.
I was so disappointed in myself because it had a camera.
Somewhere there's a 10-year-old kid going, well, that was close.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, buddy. And like, then just been like, bloop.
We take our drone to the lake. If it's not crazy windy, it's crazy how fast the wind will kill a battery on a drone.
Yeah.
If it's not crazy windy, we'll take the drone to the lake because it's really cool to get shots of us surfing from 30 feet up.
Yeah.
Or directly overhead. It's kind of neat. But I've never, and if people are coved out partying, we'll run it around the parties and everybody's waving and cheering and everything else. I've never once ever thought to go take it to the kids' swim beach.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's just like, pervy.
I guarantee it was some kids on the beach and they were like, you
probably
know, just jacking around. But I was like, man, I'm going to, I was so hopped up. And then I
Jacomo doesn't have a beach, does it?
No, they don't.
Just Blue Springs and Longview.
Yeah. Blue Springs, Longview, Smithville, but it's not Jackson County.
So tonight,
everyone listening right now is like, what are these fucking dipshits talking about?
So tonight, so last Tuesday night, I finally convinced Grant to come out on the boat with just me. And it was his buddy, too. His buddy came with him. Mason jumped on a friend's boat. And so I talked Grant into coming out just me and got him up on a surfboard.
Nice.
And Grant had a blast. Now that he finally gets it, he understands, and it clicked, right?
Do you think he was nervous before because people were watching him and stuff, and he's the youngest and
no,
all that?
No, I think he was feeling excessive pressure from his brother because Mason's so much better at surfing than he is, and so he's like...
Yeah, Mason can be a real dick sometimes without knowing he's a dick.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't have any empathy. Like, he doesn't understand what people are feeling. That,
exactly.
That probably makes... That makes a lot of sense.
And so...
not that he's not a good kid. Don't get me wrong.
And so we took Grant and got him up on the board, got his buddy up on the board, and both boys were like, we should do this every week.
After, and Grant, for a year and a half, has been like, I don't like water sports.
Right, right. And so I'm like, yeah, well, I think we can make that happen. And then over the weekend, I got notified. There's an event that we did last year called Wake the World. And basically what it is they work with boys and girls clubs of all the big metropolitan areas, and they find these like underprivileged kids that have never been on a boat. Most of them don't even know how to swim. And they take them out on a boat, and you get them up on a wakeboard or a surfboard or anything.
You took those girls out.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a whole boat full of young girls last year. And you have a chaperone that helps you. Like, it's very structured.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it has. You can't just, like, put little girls on a random weirdo's boat.
Well, and you got to go through a safety course that shows that you're a qualified captain and, like, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And
a little background check, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. Good. And so...
surprised you passed.
That, yeah. Right. they look at my background and they're like, is this guy even alive?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, come on.
All he's ever done is speed.
Yeah.
But he's sped a lot.
It's a lot. Only early.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah. But so that event, we were signing up for it again this year. Well, it got canceled. And there was
bad weather or?
No. It's not even for another month. But. The leadership had a big change in it and all kinds of stuff. And it
organizational.
Just, yeah. And the guy that was running it this year, I don't think he was quite prepared for everything that it takes. And so it got canceled. And I'm like, well, that stinks because I do really enjoy getting new people on a boat and getting new people up on a surfboard.
Yeah.
It's just such a, like, I get such a rush of adrenaline when somebody new pops up on a surfboard.
You and I talk about this all the time. We really like helping people and teaching people different things. And so regardless of what it is, you know, and that's why I asked you earlier today, because Layla's in this new soccer program and they want, you know, parents to put on like pool parties and do this and that. And I was like, I got to hire you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to take out some
girls. Let's go have some fun.
And, yeah. Have some fun and get them up.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, like, there's a small list of people that I would say are good teachers, and I would be willing to like take strange kids out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're like, there's
it,
1.5 people.
Yeah, it takes a non-selfish personality for sure. Because like, you're taking your expensive boat out.
Yeah.
You're putting wear and tear on it. And like, wear and tear on a boat, like
it's expensive, man.
Well, yeah, I have to get an oil change every 50 hours.
Yeah.
So like, wear and tear actually means something on a boat. A lot of times on a car, you can kind of dismiss it a little bit. You know, it's 20 miles. Who cares?
Yeah.
But on a boat, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
And then, you know, you're burning fuel and everything else. But that event got canceled over the weekend. And then it rings in my mind, like, Grant wanted to kind of have, like, a boys' night every, like, just the guys.
Yeah.
And so it's like, sweet, let's just do it. Tuesday night with the boys on the water.
Yeah.
And it just, it like, I put a little PSA about it yesterday on my Facebook. A couple of people chimed in. Some
next thing you know, you're turning people away.
Well, some people are like adult men that just want to get out there. Some people are like single moms of kids that are like, my son needs some manly engagement. And so I'm like, yeah, bring them. Like, this is the perfect time for that. Like, we'll have guys of all ages from, you know, teens to 40, 50. And they'll get to hang out with some dudes and where everyone's getting put into a challenge of like, you got to figure out how to surf, right? And so there's almost like a basic training type of experience that comes out of that, of like a whole bunch of strangers coming together and everybody encouraging each other to do something that they've never done before.
You know, your nonprofit that we keep talking about, that may be a good idea.
Yeah.
For underprivileged kids too.
Yeah. Like,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, we could totally do it. Ironically, today I got an email from Malibu. I'm on Malibu's radar because I like tag them a lot.
Yeah.
I got an email from Malibu today.
pull our logo off your boat, you jackass.
No, no. They were apologizing that the Wake the World thing got canceled. And they were inviting me to some other like surf fest or something at Lake of the Ozarks.
Mm.
And they were like, we see you. You tag us a lot. We appreciate it. You seem to be a good steward of the boating community.
Where's my free boat, bitch?
We want to invite you to here. And I'm like, cool. And they didn't even say the dates or anything. And so I go online and check the dates for the event that they were talking about. It's July 26th.
Oh,
and so I'm like, well, I can't this year.
Yeah.
A little preoccupied.
Yeah. If you,
so for those that don't know, our next event is going to be in Vegas on July 26th. And once we sell all the tickets to Tradewinds members, any leftover tickets will be available to the public. And so follow me on social media if you want a ticket to the Vegas event. It's largely members only.
Yeah.
But
I,
we will open it to the public with leftover tickets.
We haven't talked about this yet. We talked about our number today for how many people can go. It's looking like there's going to be tickets left over.
Yep.
And we know that there's going to be tickets left over. Not a lot. So, you know, we had talked about making that public on June 25th, but we may end up doing it like this Friday or Saturday.
Right.
You know, we may just be like, all right, let's just do it and put it out there.
Yeah.
And
then
that'll still give the guys, you know, that's given them a month and a half.
Yep.
And
we got a little bit of like housekeeping to do before we actually make like an official post announcing it. Mainly I've got to solidify the speakers. And I have like, we're filming this on a Tuesday. This will air on a Thursday or Friday. 17th?
Yeah, you're right. 17th.
No.
Yeah.
Is it 17th?
Yeah, 17th.
Okay. So by the time this airs, I will probably have solidified the speakers. I've got one final interview of a speaker that I don't know anything about tomorrow.
Oh,
and I highly trust the referral.
Is this the guy that you sent me the stuff about, you the email?
No.
Oh, different.
No, this is somebody else.
Okay. So I checked that out.
I highly trust the referral for this speaker. He sent me over his slide deck for what he would present on, but my Google Drive has been messing up and not letting me open stuff lately. And
I think they've been rebuilding part of Drive. Mine's been the same way.
Yeah, it's been killing me on server stuff, and then I ran out of storage. And so I had to upgrade my storage, and now Google Drive's working better. But he and I are going to meet tomorrow. I have a good feeling about it. It would take a lot of red flags for me to say, no, you're not our guy.
Yeah.
And it seems like every event we do, we always have like, I don't want to say like an outsider, but just there's always a speaker that we don't know a whole lot about. And so this might be that guy for this one, but that's how we learn and grow and meet new people and everything else.
Yeah.
So
we talked about this a little bit on the call this morning about maybe having one of the Tradewinds guys talk again, mm-hmm. and share, maybe either share their story or, and I don't know if it has to be necessarily their story. Maybe it could just be like challenges they've overcome,
right.
How they view, like, We may do one. May let one do it again. I like giving them some content. Speaking of the guys that,
yeah,
on the last one, I still haven't got them the content. That's 100% on me.
It's there.
It's 100% on me. But I mean, I like giving the guys the opportunity to like extend themselves and say, okay, I'm just gonna.
Right.
This will make me better when I'm speaking in front of my four employees.
Right.
Like nothing terrifies you more than speaking in front of 40 strangers. And then when you go back to your shop and it's four guys, you're like, now your confidence level is extremely high.
I'm backwards.
Communicated. Really?
I'll speak in front of 40 strangers. No problems. Because like one could argue, it doesn't matter if I fuck it up. They don't know me. You know what I mean? But like, I'll get nervous speaking with my own team because...
Really?
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started Tradewinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah. It's because it matters more when it's your own team. Like these are the people I care about. I got to deliver the message well. I need to make sure they receive the message.
That's true.
This isn't like me yelling at my team. Like if I'm trying to give a talk,
Yeah.
And like get a point across and all of that. Like there's an art to speaking in a way that engages them and captures their attention and everything else. And
yeah,
you know, to me, it seems like I can do that easier with strangers than with real people.
Real people
in my circle.
If it's like five or six people, I don't even, it doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
But from like 10 to 50, it's the same. And it's weird. Like I will be extremely nervous for the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And then after that, it's over. Like when I was playing live shows, like you'd play in front of 100 people and you'd be like freaking out. Like you're just taking shots, you know, like trying to calm yourself. And the first song, you're like, oh, fuck. And then the second song starts and you're like, oh, okay.
Yep.
And it's weird because I would feel completely normal.
Yep.
At the Kansas City event, like I started talking. I even said, I was like, man, for some reason, I'm extremely nervous. Like 2 minutes after that.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. It's public speaking is a real... It's a mind fuck.
So what's
for sure?
What's different is nowadays with technology. I'm listening to Oliver Anthony.
I don't know who that is.
Country singer. Kind of a Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings kind of country singer. Like old school.
Is he the guy that sang that really popular song, Richmond from Richmond?
Yeah, yep.
That song is fantastic. By the way. I've tried to play it like just for fun at home.
Yep.
It's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Like
you think it's super easy.
He's a talented musician for sure.
Yeah, he is
sure.
A talented musician and so, gives no fucks about anybody.
Well, he went on Rogan after that song took off and he was still deer in the headlights at that time. He wasn't expecting it and all that stuff. He just released another episode with Rogan here recently. And he's kind of an interesting fella because he is like, he's not in it for the money. He's in it to enjoy it. And he was like, I don't know if I have any more music in me after that. And everyone told me that I was going to fail. I was going to be a one-hit wonder and all of this stuff. And I was kind of believing them. And then all these labels are coming at me, wanting me to sign agreements. And I'm like, I am not about this life. And then he gets his first check from iTunes.
And he's like, fuck yeah.
$800,000.
Yeah.
His first check. And so he was like, all right, let's roll this in a different direction.
Yeah.
Let's not sell out. Like he still owns his music. He's kind of taken the jelly roll pursuit where, he's using a label a little bit, but not a ton. But it's interesting to hear him talk about it because
I'll watch that.
He talks about like trying to stay genuine to who he is and not be a sellout and not just do it for the money. And he really didn't want to write another album, but then all of his actual fans, he was like, all these other people were going to pay me tons of money to write an album.
But he has 400 real fans that are like, dude, keep doing it.
It's more than 400. But, he had like actual fans reaching out being like, dude, you got to release another album. And so he decided to release another one because the fans wanted it, not because somebody was trying to sell him on the idea of another album.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the first show he played, before he made it big, before his song took off on iTunes, he was just like a guy, like just scraping by, no big deal. And he signed up to play at this music festival.
Laying concrete during the day and then trying to play on a Friday night.
I don't know what his day job is. But he signed up to play at this music festival. And they were going to pay him $250 to play for a couple hours.
Sold.
And he was like, sure, I'll do it. He was already booked for the venue and everything. Well, then Richmond of Richmond took off. And all of a sudden, that little show that he was going to play for $250, he was now the headliner. And the first show he ever played was in front of 50,000 people.
Dude, can you imagine?
Like, you're talking about being nervous.
My God.
Yeah.
What'd you do? I had 4 shots of tequila, smoked half a joint, and then walked out there and fucking gave it all I had, man.
So what's funny is I know he doesn't smoke. I don't think he drinks all that much either. So, like,
he did that day.
I'm at the point of this episode with Rogan where he's talking about, like, he's only ever smoked one cigar in his whole life. And I think he may have like tried weed a little bit in high school or something.
Naturally calm. Just,
yeah,
cool,
just
collected.
Pretty mild mannered guy just out of the gate, you know?
You know, I think to what you were saying before of he didn't know if he had another album in him. like back in the day, I say back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, you know, like bands would come out and either their first album would be great or their third album, sometimes their second, but that it was true. Like some guys only have
right
so much music in them.
Yep.
And then they've got it, and then they get on a label, and then they're buying songs from like a Chris Stapleton or whoever, because there are a very limited number of people, most of no one's ever even heard of, that can literally, John Nigro was this way.
Yeah.
That can just sit down and be like, I'm going to write some songs, and then come to band practice, and then he has 15 new songs.
Yep.
And like three of them are great.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, dude.
Yep.
Like, but most of those guys that have really good music and really good original music, and they make one album and it's an awesome album. That's it.
Yeah.
Like there's just nothing else in there for them, you know?
It's the Oneaters. The one hit wonders.
Yeah.
Right?
The one hit wonders. It's very true.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine like the pressure. I wonder if some of his thought process there was because the pressure to do another quote unquote great album or really good album, you know, got to him. And I know a lot of those labels do a deal where they're like, okay, we're going to do your second album. You got 60 days to write it. It may take you a year to come up with 10 really good songs.
Right.
You know, so it's like, well, I got these three, and they're like, okay, nowadays we're going to put this filler bullshit.
Yeah, now we're
in
just
there.
Farming in some other music.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's a great deal of pressure in there not a lot of people get even see or feel.
The cool message that he has in that whole thing is like, he's like, I don't know how long this will last, but right now with technology, we're at a time in our lives where a guy like me, Oliver, can make it big with no $1 million ad budget, no marketing budget, no label, no
nothing.
Put it
on YouTube, and if it's original and it's great,
right,
you're paid, dog.
And so it's kind of interesting, and especially with the ways that things are going with AI and all of that stuff, it'll be interesting to see like what happens with music.
Yeah.
You're already seeing it. We're all going to see it in our own realms of where we focus on it. But like right now you can tell an AI video from not.
Yes.
It's not easy, but you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell.
But just imagine like 2-3 years ago, an AI video was easy to spot back then. Now you can still spot them, but it's not easy. Where are we going to be at in another 3 years? Like,
yeah, who knows?
It's going to be virtually impossible to tell with a naked eye if this video is AI or real.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of been swept under the rug, but like 6 months ago when AI was doing some really great stuff with being able to create a Mitchell Smedley and then hear so many words from Mitchell and then create a post, and it looks like Mitch is standing there, blah, blah, blah,
talking.
I hate the world, blah, 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 this and that. Like, it is scary to think about, like, political manipulation.
All right. You take
governments
manipulating an anti-president crowd, no matter what side, if you're anti-Biden, anti-Trump, anti-whatever.
Yeah.
You create a fake AI video that placates to their feelings.
Yeah. You can
feelings.
Control people.
And that person, because confirmation bias is so strong, that person, because that video confirms their bias.
Yeah.
That video, if they think Trump's a Nazi, then they would make an AI video that helps confirm that.
Yeah.
And then that person sold forever, and you'd never convince them that video was fake.
No.
Because it corroborates what their internal belief is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest dangers in America right now is people are
People are living in their own echo chamber.
Yeah.
And they will not listen to anything else. And if they get one piece of information, like the video you were just talking about, it stays inside of that echo chamber forever.
Yep.
And it just grows hate and diversion.
Yep.
I don't understand how people cannot see through that shit.
Well, I think your No Kings protests and stuff like that were proof of how strong those echo chambers are.
Oh, man.
Like,
yeah.
Let's call it 1% of America attended those.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But
and they act and they say and they state because of everything they hear inside of their chamber, they feel like it was 70% of the population of America.
And so I'll have discussions with those people. I'm not trying to prove them right. I'm not trying to make my point or anything else. I'm just trying to more or less learn like how hopeless it is to change their mind. And so the local news, like Fox 4 News, posted something about the Kansas City, Missouri No Kings protest. And I just simply commented and I said, the ironic thing is like nations with kings forbid this kind of activity. Yeah. And here your rights allow it, right?
Yeah.
And of course, all the extremes jump on me and try to trash me and you must not be paying attention. And have you ever read a history book? And oh my God, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. Well, every once in a while, like you'll get a comment that seems not quite like echo chambered.
Yeah.
And so I'll engage with them a little bit. And it never usually works out very well. But like this one person I was talking back and forth with, and they were like, he sent in the troops. That's like, what leader sends in the troops on their own citizens?
A good one, bitch.
Well, they act like we sent in the troops to kill our own citizens.
No, it was protect and back up law enforcement.
To protect the innocent citizens and to go after the disruptive citizens that some of them aren't even citizens, right?
Well, yeah, and like they were to protect the like poor Iranian immigrants that own a 7-Eleven because there's just a bunch of freaking hood rats that I saw the videos. They're just trying to get in there and steal all their stuff and they're trying to hold the doors shut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what do
and so what's funny is like Gavin Newsom, 2021, Gavin Newsom called in the National Guard to protect his city from the civil unrest that was happening in the protests that were happening around election time.
Yeah.
But he was hailed a hero. But when President Trump calls in the National Guard to the same area,
you're a Nazi escalator. It's,
they're trying to say you're a dictator. That's what kings do. They send in the military on their own people. And it's like, well, where was Gavin Newsom's pass? And this person was like, well, he was within his legal right to do it. Trump wasn't. And I'm like, turn off the news. Trump is absolutely within his legal right to send out the National Guard anywhere he feels is necessary in the U.S.
Yeah.
That like We're not a nation of 50 small nations. Yes, we have states, and yes, we are one nation. But Trump can always do that.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a weird thing. But yeah, AI will infiltrate that hard, and just send those people farther down their echo chamber.
We're gonna move on. But my brother said to me the other day, I think we were fishing. He goes, "No one's realized it, but World War III started like 3 years ago."
Yeah.
With Ukraine and Russia and now what's going on in the Middle East. And we're not going to get into all that, but it's like, and then with this, like you can tell like with AI and with social media and with news stations being like the news they broadcast being scripted almost to try to create division. Like I don't want to be like a negative doomsdayer. But man, it's hard to ignore the signs. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to look around and take all of that information in and then be like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like my brain still works. My brain's like, something's fucked up, man.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's definitely a common theme with the No Kings protesters. A lot of obesity. A lot of
left turn.
I guess what I'm getting at.
I know what you're saying.
Is that side has found out that they can prey on these people that don't have any personal discipline.
Yeah.
And they can warp their mind, and they can kind of weaponize that person to join their side. Right.
I can't remember his name. I'm trying to decide if I want to say this or not because I don't have his stuff pulled up. There's a black guy. Maybe I'll put it in the description of the show. He literally comes out and says, and starts calling white Democrat leaders out for saying specific things like, we know that the black population can easily be manipulated.
Right.
Like, and he goes on, this is a black guy. He goes on this whole rant about it. And he said it's complete bullshit. He's like, basically, they've just made us slaves again, just in a different way. And none of you want to look around and say anything about it.
They are enslaved.
I listened to that. It's like a 20-minute rant. I listened to it like three times.
Send it to me.
I'll try to find it.
They're enslaved by the oppressive systems that are in America that are labeled as like low income systems, systems.
Yeah, he talks about
you're a slave to the welfare system.
Being on welfare and all that stuff and having all, and he literally goes on this deal about how Trump and Republicans are trying to break all that down so that people can truly be free. And he's literally talking to a bunch of other black men, like predominant black men,
right,
about it. And it is a very interesting listen. I'll send it to you. If I can find the link, I will put it in the description of the show if anyone wants to listen to it. It's very, very good.
I like it.
Very good. What do you want to talk about today? Other than
30 minutes in, let's talk about a real thing, right?
You know what? What's funny?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
3 months ago, we talked about cutting the shows to an hour. And since then, they've all been an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Well, I'm okay with it.
I'm just saying.
We get more points across that way.
I'm okay with it, but it's like we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some real stuff that you're going to encounter if you're trying to grow a business, and that is the idea that work-life balance is a myth. And this gets thrown around a ton. It's a kind of a cliche thing for entrepreneurs or gurus to talk about, but it's a very real thing. And anybody who's built anything will attest to the idea that the work-life balance is indeed a myth. And when I say anybody that's built anything, I mean it. Like, literally anybody that's built anything. You take a professional athlete. Don't look at them at the top. Look at them on the come up. What did their achievements cost them? What did they have to sacrifice, right? For Tom Brady, it was his marriage. Right. Bill Belichick, definitely relationships along the way for sure. Right. Michael Jordan's pissed a lot of people off throughout the years.
I love Michael Jordan, man.
George Brett, you talk to anybody that's met George Brett in person, they'll say he's an asshole.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never met him.
Right. It doesn't phase anybody. There's a local radio show host that's not in existence anymore, but he had like a 30-year run, Johnny Dare.
Yeah.
I've met him in person. He's an asshole.
Is he?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
But I don't hate him for it, because it's what he had to do to get where he is, right? And that's not permission to go out there and be an asshole or anything like that, but what it's more or less hitting at is the idea that you will have to sacrifice things to get somewhere. You can't join the military without going to at least 6 weeks of basic training, right? You can't buy a home without putting money down or getting approved. You have to concede on something to get anything, right? You can't get a car unless you agree to make payments for many, many years. Or you concede with your cash in the bank, either which.
Yeah, that's not why I was laughing.
Oh. But everything in life worth having comes with sacrifice, comes with concessions. And if you're trying to build a business, you will have to concede a lot. And I think sometimes people forget, or people don't realize just how much work it takes to build a business. Even if somebody, I get told all the time, I'm super transparent. I get people tell me all the time, thanks for sharing the good with the bad. You're real on social media. When you have highs, you share it. When you have lows, you share it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, it emotionally wears me out, but yes, you do.
Right. Well, even with that, I still don't share all the lows. I don't want to bore people, right?
Well, and you don't want... Like, let's be honest, you share too much as it is.
Probably.
You don't want to share the other 10%.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so... even with all of that, you're going to run into challenges. But like when I was starting our company, I committed 10 hours a day, 6 days a week to working in and on the business. And so every day I was out there either running calls or doing things to drum up work. And if those things were hanging door hangers, that's what it was. If those things were searching social media for people that were in search of plumbing repairs and commenting on their stuff, then that's what it was. But for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, that was my commitment. And the hardest hire that you're ever going to have when you're building a business, especially if you start the business with little cash and you start the business where you're the only guy doing the work, the hardest hire you will ever make is your first hire. And the reason why is because you have to prove to yourself you have enough work to keep the first hire busy. And the only way to prove to yourself that you have enough work to keep the first hire busy is you have to work double time. You have to prove that twice the amount of work you should be handling is there.
Yeah.
So you work double time for a short amount of time, prove that I've got enough calls to keep two guys busy, and then I go hire a guy. And now we share the calls.
Yeah.
But then what happens for guy number three, right? I've hired guy number two. I'm guy number one. What happens for guy number three? Well, I got to go out there and work double time again, right? And I can't make guy number two work double time because he didn't agree to that. He didn't sign up for that. That's on me.
Yeah, 100% on you.
So I let him work his normal days and I go work the extras and the overflows and all the after hours and everything to prove that we have enough work to hire somebody else and then hire somebody else. And in my business, about three plumbers in the field is what it took for me to really step out of the field and focus on working on the business instead of in it. But until we got to that level, I was obsessed with growing the business. In the byproducts of that, things fall. Relationships can struggle.
Yeah.
Maintenance on non-business related items can struggle. And when I say maintenance, what I mean is like physical maintenance around your house, but also maintenance on relationships and everything else. In other words, the idea that there is this mythical thing called work-life balance, that only exists for employees. That does not exist for business owners.
Yeah, it's the difference, and it's not just business owners. You can still be an employee and not accept the work-life balance stereotype and be very successful.
Yeah.
It's more of if you're successful or not.
Yeah.
But a majority of the time, and people that listen to the show, it is. It's they're business owners.
Yeah, I think you're right in that. Let's just call it a preneur thing.
Nice word.
For entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, an entrepreneur is somebody who is wanting to achieve the highest level of success in a business.
Yes.
An entrepreneur is wanting to achieve the highest level of success owning a business. Whether you're an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, if you're a preneur, work-life balance doesn't really exist. You are working your ass off, and it's consuming your physical time, and it's consuming your mental time, and it's consuming all of your thoughts and all of your free time. It's consuming your sleeping time.
Yeah.
Because you're coming up with ideas in your sleep, and if you're really dedicated to it, you're going to wake up, and you're going to pull out your phone, and you're going to make the note. I don't want to forget this. I just had a dream that might work. Or whatever, right? And so it's literally consuming you 24/7.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to get your business off the ground, like you're throwing out business cards everywhere. I made these $50 coupons basically to Smedley Plumbing. And anywhere I went, if I got good service from anybody, I would hand them a coupon. And I would say, I value good service in my business. Here's this if you ever need a plumber.
Yeah.
It's obvious you value good service too. And I mean, I didn't even qualify them to know if they own a home or anything like
that. Don't care.
I was just,
you have to
whatever
have
I could do to get
in,
the message
baby.
Out. Yeah. Right.
Sales.
Right. And so work-life balance is truly a myth. And that doesn't give you permission to like abandon life for the fault of work. Like you still have to handle life as well. It's just going to be imbalanced. And so some of what that entails, like handling of life, is like letting your spouse know that you're going to be less available, letting your kids know you're going to be less available, letting your kids know that, hey, a summer vacation might not happen this year. We're going to try, but it might not because the money might not be there or my time needs to be dedicated to this, but I promise it'll be worth it in the long run. In other words, once you understand that work-life balance is a myth, the immediate next step is you're teaching your wife and your kids about work ethic.
Yeah. And I wrote this at the beginning because really, and that what you just said is right. I wrote, work-life balance is the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. When you don't need to be working, take advantage of your free time to disconnect. Those that can master that can be business owners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have to be able to delegate to yourself what is important.
Yeah.
What is going to take priority here?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like a perfect example, when you and I started TradeWinds, and this is going to sound stupid, I don't even remember how long it's been now, how long it's been since we started the podcast. I don't know. But I do know that for a full year and a half, I worked two jobs, essentially.
Yep.
Because TradeWinds didn't make money.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to build the website. We were trying to do the podcast. We were trying to put on events.
Mm-hmm.
I was still rolling full time, doing my own thing,
mm-hmm.
helping out who we know, because I thought there were mm-hmm. some subdivisions going to be put in, plus running TradeWinds, plus doing all this. And what you were saying in the beginning of there's going to be a sacrifice to be had, my sacrifice was like my mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally almost worked myself to death because I wanted it so bad
yep.
to work out. I knew, like in my heart, in my mind, I knew that my next step was this
mm-hmm.
in TradeWinds. I mean, I just fucking knew it.
Yeah.
You know, no one had to convince me.
I think you and I both did. You and I both saw the need and saw the niche and were like,
this is going to work.
The way in whether we want it to be the way or not, like it is, and we just have to put in the work to make it happen.
Yeah, it literally almost, we've had these talks. I'm mm-hmm. not going to talk about it here. It almost cost me my life at one point.
Yep.
But I knew that that is what it was going to take to get all that shit off the fucking ground.
Right.
Like I was willing to sacrifice fucking everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
To make it happen. And sometimes that is what it fucking takes. It takes that level of, I don't give a fuck, we're going to do this.
Right.
To get it done.
Well, and that's not a surprising revelation.
No.
Look at the military. What is the 6 weeks of basic training?
Sacrificing your life and your mental clarity.
They break you down.
Yeah.
To where you're nothing. And then they build you back up to who they want you to be, right? And essentially, when you are extremely passionate about starting a business that's going to take some significant time to get established, you're breaking yourself down.
Yeah.
And you don't know it at the time.
I mean,
but you're literally breaking yourself down.
Yeah.
To your lowest of lows.
Yeah.
So that it's like a validation of the... Not a validation of your efforts, but it's like proof of the reasoning for why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
And very few people have started a company that didn't hit some ultra low point at some time.
Yeah.
And it's because we as humans have a hard time. Like, I can sit here and tell you work-life balance is a myth. I can tell you that you will make sacrifices and it's going to cost you. That doesn't mean I have it all figured out. That doesn't mean that my wife and I didn't just have a disagreement last night about the balance of work and life, right? Like
yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. And that's part of what makes it worth it, right? And that's part of what makes it worth it. Like for my wife and I later on down the road, we'll appreciate everything we have so much more because we both know exactly what we sacrificed to get there.
Yeah. Jenny and I, we don't argue about this, but we have serious conversations about it when we see people that, and she brings it up more than me because she hasn't, we just see things differently, but she'll say things like, you know, she'll see very successful people and know for a fact that one of them is not a hard worker or dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
I do not mean your wife.
No, right.
You looked right at me. I was like,
no.
It's a couple of other people, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I will literally say to her, but when we're done, we will be able to look back and be like, we're proud of this.
Right.
You know? And then and that little bit of questioning and clarity, like, and then she's like, you're right. Like, this is ours. And when we're done, we're not going to have to worry about retirement.
Right.
We could literally be minimalist right now and probably not have to do anything.
Yep.
Like, because we've made the sacrifices already.
Right. And same here. Like, I could
almost coughed during that.
I could retire and at a lesser quality of life than I would like to. I could retire right now and be a minimalist and make it work, right?
Yeah, lots of people do it. They move off to the middle of nowhere and just
right.
But fuck that.
Right.
I want that 720, baby.
Yeah, I want more for my life. I want a better retirement income, and so I'm going to keep going. But the idea of work-life balance, like, throw it out the window. There is no balance. A balanced scale reads zero. So if you're balancing work and life, that means your life is zero and your work is zero.
Yeah.
And if you want to really excel in life, crank that thing up, right? And if you're younger listening to this show, I know a majority of our listeners are like 35 to 45, according to the stats that all the places give us. But if you're younger listening to this show, your 20s is where the physical work comes in. Your 30s is you're transitioning from the physical work to the mentally tough work.
Yeah.
And if you do that properly, then you're pretty well set by your 40s. That doesn't mean you're retiring by 40s, but that means
but you're on the right trajectory.
Yes. That means you've established the right patterns in life to help ensure that you're going to get where you're wanting to go.
You know, Tristan was here, and I'm not going to like go on a whole thing, but he came over to my house before we went out to dinner,
mm-hmm.
and then he came over after.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically wanted, this may sound arrogant, but I don't want it to be. It'll make sense after I'm done. I wanted to show him the whole house. I got a nice house. I showed him everything. I've only shown like three people my gun vault, right?
Right.
I showed him everything.
I'm lucky enough to know that gun vault.
Uh-huh. I showed him the building. I showed him everything. I gave him some numbers specific to like Jenny and I's, I don't want to say wealth. That's the wrong word. But
retirement. Your nest egg.
But I wanted to specifically show him those things and tell him about those things. And then I didn't think I was going to ever say this, but we were sitting on my couch and I said, the only reason I'm saying all this to you, buddy, is because at your age now, you're almost three times ahead of where I was at.
Right.
And you have everything in front of you.
Yep.
If you stay disciplined, I was like, dude, look around. You'll be blowing me out of the water.
Right.
And that's what I want for you.
And what we want for everybody in TradeWinds. That's why we started TradeWinds. Like one of the continuing mottos in TradeWinds is to fail faster. In other words, we all help each other learn by our failures.
Yeah.
And if I trust and value your opinion and you tell me don't do this because I failed doing this and I tried it, like, and when I say I trust and value your opinion, that means I know that you're the type of person that will exhaust all opportunities to try to make something a success.
Yeah.
And if you say it's not a success, I trust you, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the whole purpose of TradeWinds, is to play off of where everyone else, there's enough people in the group that everyone else has exhausted all opportunities and proven that this is not the right way to go. And when you trust those people, well, now we all get better because we learn that putting your business on a golf course scorecard is not going to help you get calls. Sponsoring the local elementary school event is not going to help you get calls. And I don't want to.
You may get some, but it's not going to be a light switch that just elevates you to three more employees.
Right. It's not the ROI you're looking for. Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to cut you off.
No, you're fine. And where I was going with that was, you know, sometimes guys will work, and why I wanted to share that with Tristan was, you know, he's young enough. He's 26. I think he's 26 or 25. When we're that age, or even 30 or 35, and we're working extremely hard and it feels like we're getting nowhere,
mm-hmm.
I have no work-life balance. I have no free time. I have no this. I have no that. And when you're young, it seems like 43, 45, 50 is a lifetime away. It's the blink of a fucking eye.
It's not.
And if someone would have come to me maybe when I was younger, it may have helped. Or, you know, like if someone could have just said, if you would do 10% more than what you're doing even now and show you like the future I am at or the future mm-hmm. I could be at now if I'd have done 10% more, mm-hmm. would have maybe projected me to be even better than I was.
Right.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
But to your point, when you're in your 20s, man, and you're fucking flat getting it, don't be exhausted. Don't feel like there's no end in sight. Those right. are your 20s are your prime physical ability. How do I say this? You're at your prime physical peak for making shit happen and work, making shit happen and working till 10 o'clock at night
right.
or 11 o'clock or getting up at 5 and not being out of gas from drinking beers till 10:30.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you have to take advantage of it when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do it. If you're in your 20s and you're listening, take advantage of it. Because
yeah.
when you're 35, you ain't fucking doing that shit anymore.
Right.
Let me tell you.
It's no different than like parenting, right? There's a reason that most parents become parents in their 20s and early 30s. It's because that's where they have the energy that it takes to be a parent of a young child.
Yeah.
Right?
Do preach.
I can't imagine, like, knowing how exhausting it was to have kids. And when I say exhausting, I mean you don't know anything, right?
You're mentally stressed. You're tired.
Nobody
you're
teaches you how to raise. Yeah. Nobody teaches you how to raise a kid. It's kind of the craziest thing ever. Like
that's why it's the most rewarding because it is the craziest thing ever.
I have to have a license to go take a $20 fishing pole and $3 worth of worms and go to the local lake and pluck a fish.
Yeah.
But they'll let me fuck some girl and make a kid.
I think let you use the wrong words, but yeah, I get it.
And have no license, right? Yeah. I created a life, and there's no checks and balances on that, right?
No.
It's insanity. It's the weirdest thing ever.
It's fucking insanity.
But the amount of physical energy it takes to raise the child is insane.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing it in your 20s and 30s.
Dude, full transparency, you know me, I'm super high energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can run around with guys that are 10 years younger than me and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
We had Layla late.
Yeah.
I was almost 32.
Yep.
Dude, I can't keep up with her.
Right.
If I had two boys and I didn't have them till I was 32, 34, I'd be losing my shit.
Well, and
I'm not saying you did that. I'm saying I don't think I could do it.
No. Well, in a parallel example, look at all these parents that had kids just out of high school. And
they're already enjoying their life, and the rest of us are like, God damn
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, yes,
at the
time, they may have been frowned upon. And if those parents didn't have good leadership within their own house to help raise the kid to be a good kid, they've raised a good kid, and now they're off on to life, right? And so what I'm getting at by saying that is, yes, it may be frowned upon to have a kid just out of high school or in high school. I totally understand all that, right? It's out of wedlock. Like, there's a lot of things there that are an issue.
But that's not your point.
But the point is the physical energy of a person that's 18 years old and having a kid, or 19 years old or 20 years old and having a kid, they've got the energy to give that kid the best life ever.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet that that kid has a better life than the people that waited until 40. Because the people that waited until 40 are freaking tired. And they're getting lazy with
yeah.
they're starting to excuse their behavior a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And
it's not excuse it. It's just if they're not taking care of themselves, you know, at what we would consider a peak physical condition, it's reality that they're tired. It's reality that they're worn out. They're not making that shit up.
Here's a reality for you. Kids are kids until they're 18. Which means that if you...
I might still be a kid. Does that count?
Well, I mean, I'm young at heart, maybe. But...
Yes, you are.
So what that means is that by the time your child is 12, 75% of their childhood is already gone.
Yeah.
Right? So when we talk about work-life balance...
God, don't say shit like that.
Brain. Right. Well, this is part of it. Is because, like, in your 20s and in your 30s, where you have the energy, you got to go hard.
Yeah.
Because if you don't,
yeah,
it passes you up and you don't have the energy to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, you're taking TRT. First off, I have become a fan of the TRT. I'm not on it, but there are certain guys I know that and I see and they look depressed and fat and their life sucks and they just take a little bit of it and they are rejuvenated.
Yeah.
So I don't, if you're taking it, good for you. I don't care.
To me, TRT is the natural remedy to a lot of problems in life. I was personally heavily struggling with anxiety and depression before getting on TRT simply because I didn't have the energy to give a fuck. And then once I got on TRT, it gave me the energy.
Yeah.
Now let's give some parameters around this. A guy my age, the optimal level for your testosterone is about 800 to 1,000. When you're a kid in high school, the optimal level is like 12 to 1,800. Okay?
Yeah, you're growing shit at that point.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so before I got on TRT, my T levels were insanely low.
Yeah, yours are pretty low.
Way low, right? And so I'm not on TRT to like I wouldn't consider myself on a steroid level of TRT.
No.
Like, we're trying to level me out at around 800, yeah, right? I've been at 1,500.
That's too much.
The first dose they put me on shot me to 1,500. Let me just tell you, I felt amazing.
Yeah, of course you did. It's like...
I wanted to...
Fuck everything that was walking.
You said it.
Dude, I'm just... hey, look, there's a reason those kids are at 1,800 when they're kids.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason.
What 20-year-old doesn't want to fuck everything that's walking,
dude,
right?
You know me very well. We talked about this with one of our members the other day. You know me very well.
Yeah, you'd be screwed if you got
I'm kind of a hound dog. If they put me on TRT, it'd be over.
Janine would have to...
Dude, she'd have to handcuff me to the fucking house.
She'd have to tag somebody else in is what she'd have to do.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Stand in.
I wouldn't be allowed to leave. Yeah. There's no freaking way. I couldn't do it. You know, when did you have the boys? I've always thought, thinking back, that having kids, like, I think the optimal time is probably like 27, 28. I think that's probably, thinking back, I think you're still, you got plenty of energy.
So I was 27 with the first.
Yeah, so that's probably about right.
And then I was 30 with the second.
Yeah.
So
in that window,
I think, right? I'm not going back to months, but just years.
Janine and I intentionally waited, and I'm glad that we didn't wait any longer.
Right.
And Layla wasn't planned.
Let's be honest. In hindsight, you probably wished you would have pulled the trigger maybe a year or two sooner. It was probably your financial fears that made you wait longer than you wanted to. Or maybe a year or two sooner and it just wasn't even a blip on your radar. Maybe you thought you were going to be
When I think back on it, I think that the timing for where we were at was almost perfect.
Yeah.
Like I don't wish it would have been earlier, but I know that was the latest it could have happened. If it would have been 2 years after that and she was only 10 now,
yeah,
I'd be...
See, like, we knew we wanted kids right out of the gate. I was not ready for them, but we knew we wanted them.
Yeah, you had to tame that redhead for a while, too. Like, you have to get your boundaries in order, you know what I mean?
Well, and so we were pregnant on our first wedding anniversary.
God, were you really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I remember, so...
God, I'm getting old, man.
We always do the traditional gifts for a wedding anniversary, and we were... So the first anniversary is paper. And...
Wait, stop. What?
So you got traditional gifts and modern gifts?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So like
I've
there's a
never heard of this.
There's like a like an order of gifts that you should get, and they have two different classifications, traditional or modern. And if you're traditional, like there's you're gonna have like a traditional first anniversary gift, a traditional second anniversary gift, a traditional third.
Never heard of this.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're fucking talking about.
And so the traditional first anniversary gift is paper. And so, like, a lot of people may write you a note or something, and they're probably assuming that if your first year of marriage, you're broke, and all you can afford is to write a heartfelt note or whatever. Well, Danielle and I decided that we would be the paper, and we would go get tattoos. Like, we would be the paper, and we go get inked. And so we got our first tattoos on our first wedding anniversary, and she had to lie to the tattoo place because they ask if you're pregnant, and she had to tell them no. Even though we had just found out a couple weeks prior she was.
Oh, that's okay. That's all a bunch of bullshit.
I know.
Yeah.
But she had a lie to the tattoo place. And so, like, we were full-on pregnant with our first, at our first anniversary.
I love it. It's always we. You weren't pregnant.
Yeah. Well, that's like that joke, right? Yeah. Like, remember when we were pregnant, or I was pregnant and you told everybody we were pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember when I had the kid and you told everybody we had a kid? Yeah. Well, we just curbed our tires.
Aren't we supposed to be taking care of the outside of the house?
Right.
Isn't this our house? Don't we take care of it?
We. Right.
That's an inside joke for people that don't know.
Yeah.
That's
and,
okay.
And you'll never know.
No. But sometimes we keep some shit to ourselves.
It's
not a lot, but there's a few things.
Ultimately, so there was somebody the other day that was asking, like, how did I have time to do all this stuff that I did when I started our company? And they're overwhelmed at how much I had to do. And this was a conversation that I was having with somebody about tracking, like, key performance indicators within the company. And I was doing this from day one.
Yeah.
And
you should.
Like, literally from the first day our company was open, I worked all day. I came home that night. And I plugged my daily stats into my Excel spreadsheet that I track all of our performance with. And I still use that sheet to this day. Business has been in business for 5 years.
It's modified a little bit.
It's modified. It's enhanced. We've made some adjustments.
It's a really good sheet. Lots of Tradewinds guys use it. It's
fantastic. It works.
Yeah.
And it tells me my conversion, my average ticket, my average tasks per call, my weekly revenue, my daily revenue, like my efficiency. It tells me everything. And I would work all day. I'd plug that info at night. And then when we hired people, I would still work all day. And now I've got to plug two or three people's info in at night. And if you listen to the first early episodes of this show, we talk about how I would come home late and it would suck to have to plug all that info in. But I needed that info to guide the company and get it off the ground correctly. And chances are, if I was working late, the info was worthwhile to put in, right? Because it was probably nice, large numbers, right?
Yeah.
And I got questioned by somebody, I think it was a Tradewinds member, it may not have been, but like, how did you find time to do all this? I'm like, well, that's just what it takes to get the business off the ground. I was working 6 days a week, proving that we had enough calls for two people. Was working long, you know, 4, 5, 6 calls a day, 7 calls a day. But it's what it took to get the business to where it is now. Did my home life suffer? Absolutely. But did we make it work in the meantime? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is when I left my last job before I started our company, we took a family vacation. We loaded up the wife's car. It was a Ford Fusion, 2013 Ford Fusion. I put a trailer hitch on that car. And then I put some...
You white trash motherfucker.
I know. I put some funny adapter on that trailer hitch to raise it up like 4 or 5 inches and to expand it from a 1-inch hitch to a 2-inch hitch. And then I put a platform hitch receiver in the back of that. And we loaded up the entire family in a Ford Fusion and went to Colorado for the week before we started our company.
Oh,
and
man, can you imagine those two stinking boys?
Oh,
you and her,
not
in
today.
That Ford Fusion. Oh, they're older now.
Yeah, they're older now, but yeah. And we went and had a blast. And the idea of that vacation was, I don't know what we're getting into, and it's possible that we don't get to take a vacation like this for a long time. So that's where I adopted the philosophy of work hard, play harder. In other words, flip the switch. I'm unemployed. I'm getting ready to embark on a journey that I don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to invest as much time as possible with my family. And I don't want to say we spared no expense. We spared no experience on the trip.
We're going to pack this mother full.
My oldest wanted to rent mountain bikes and go downhill mountain bike riding on the mountains.
Let's go, dog.
We did it, right? My youngest wanted to go down in a gold mine. We did it. Like, we did all the things that we could do on that trip. And I can vividly remember we were in Granby, Colorado, which it's kind of ironic. Like, just 2 or 3 days ago, maybe a week ago, was the anniversary of the big event in Granby, Colorado. Do you know what that was?
No.
Sometimes reasonable men are called to do unreasonable things in order to fight their government.
I'm missing it.
The Killdozer?
Oh, yes.
That's where that occurred.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were in Granby, Colorado.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And we don't
know what that is, look it up.
Yeah. We were 2 hours from our hotel.
Oh, shit.
From our condo.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah. We were 2 hours from our condo in Granby, Colorado, and we were getting ready to go play mini putt, like mini golf. And the wife and kids walk into mini golf, and I get a phone call from what was our insurance broker at that time. We were still trying to gather insurance.
Yeah.
For Danielle and I and the family while we embarked on this new journey. And we didn't have it, like, we had it close, but we didn't have it solidified yet. And I had to sit there and watch my kids. We made a quick, like, plan B. And I'm like, all right, you guys go ride go-karts while I talk to this insurance person. And here I am talking to an insurance person while my whole family is enjoying go-karts. And I would love to be next to them, bumping and smiling and laughing and creating core memories. But I'm standing on the outfield of the go-kart track on the phone with an insurance person while my wife and our youngest are in a cart together because he was too young to drive one. And my oldest is like setting the lap records at this place.
That's still a memory.
It's still a memory.
It's still
but
a
like,
memory.
Those are real things that happen once you recognize that work-life balance is a myth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on family vacation. Work hard, play harder. We're playing as hard as we can. But even in a moment, I have to check out for a minute and fully check into work and secure some insurance things before I can check out of that. And okay, they're done with go-karts. Now let's all go mini golf.
Well, and that was my point earlier of you have to be able to do the work when you got to be able to do the work. And when the work isn't there and you have that free time, you have to take full advantage of it.
Right.
And you were taking full advantage of your free time by going on that vacation.
Yep.
You know, this is the same thing. What your example was, I think I said this on the podcast, when we went to Breckenridge and I worked the first half of day 2 or 3 or 4, whatever, like we were having some serious issues and Joe's there with us and we're doing the deal and we're like, got to work.
Right.
Don't know what, like it. And when you accept the fact that you're going to do whatever it takes to be successful and change your family tree and all of that stuff, it is a lot easier to just pull off of having a good time and pull off of what you selfishly want to do and say, nope, I got to sacrifice right here. I made this decision when I decided that we were going to do this 3 fucking years ago.
Right.
And one of these times has just popped up. I got to take care of it.
Yeah.
I've got to do it. And when I'm done, I'm going to shut that shit off and I'm going to take full advantage of the ski slope that the business is paying for.
Right.
Because I'm willing to make that sacrifice at any given moment.
Right. Right.
You know?
And the same thing goes with your trades-based business. You're gonna set out a night and say like, no, I'm taking my wife on a date. I'm taking my family out, whatever.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Look, before you, I don't mean to interrupt you, but is that where kind of the date night occurred for you guys? Because I know there for a while, and I know it's been going on for like 2 years now, like you were working so much. Is that what kind of spawned the date night? Were you like, no, I have to set aside at least this time and I'm going to do it?
No, I think we were in business for like 6 to 9 months before date night became a staple.
Okay.
But there's an exact series of events that led up to us realizing the importance of setting time aside for ourselves.
Okay.
But that's part of it. That's part of that work-life balance. It's like, okay, a balance scale reads zero. I got to go hard in the paint at work when it's time to work. And then I could insert a pervy joke here, but I'm not going to. I was going to say hard.
A pervy joke or a dad joke?
I could go hard in the taint for date night, but we're not gonna go there.
You went there. You said it. I don't know what to tell you.
But like, so for my wife and I, Wednesday night's date night no matter what. And so like when date night comes around, it's date night. And we hold each other accountable. And what's funny is it's kind of evolved a little bit. Like shit changes over time. It used to be date night was we would talk about work until the food came. And then once the food came, phones were down, no work talk, it's forbidden, and it's just us. And now we've got the business on more of an automated level to where now it's like the moment we get in the car to leave to go to date night, no phones. Unless we're Googling something silly that we've just come up with. Like our thing.
No phones. You guys need a no phone rule. I walked in here today. You're both on the couch, not looking at the TV. TV's on, not looking at each other, both looking at your phones.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a very weird fucking scene right now.
To be fair.
I don't need to know anything. No. Okay.
All day leading up to that, I was
you
like.
You were on your phone?
No. Okay. Busy, 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 busy. And then I had just gotten out of the shower, and I was checking in on all my notifications and everything for like 10 minutes before you walked in the door.
Yeah, I was a little late today.
Yeah.
I was doing the same thing. I was busting my ass, and I was like, I got to shower.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to leave in like fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah. And Danielle's on her phone just because she's handling the phones today, so she can't venture too far away from that.
I'm not going to call bullshit. I said I'm not.
We've recently started getting a lot of spam calls. We got 20 phone calls today, and none of them were a bookable service call.
Stop looking at porn on your work computer.
That's not it.
Okay. Stop looking. Tell her to stop looking at porn on her phone.
On her work computer, right?
Or I guess it'd be her phone. I don't know. This conversation is taking a right turn.
Yeah. Ugh. But ultimately, like, we instituted date night at a work-life balance. Because when it's time for work, we go ham into work. Like, we go hard, right?
Yeah.
And so when it's time for life, this is where I say work hard, play harder. Turn it off. Unplug. Like, there's a lot of times last summer, we haven't really gotten to it this summer. There was a lot of times last summer where work would seem to be light enough to where I would take my boys out on the boat at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Cutting out just a little bit early, trying to extend some time on the water.
Yeah.
But everybody on the boat knew that I was a slave to my phone until 5 o'clock. And so they knew that at any moment in time, I'm going to throttle the boat down and we're going to sit there at idle or turn the boat off and I'm going to handle a phone call. And everybody knew. Like I can remember my boys talking to each other. 15 more minutes and we don't have to worry about this. Because that's the promise I made to the boys.
Right in the eye. Shut your ass.
Yeah.
I'm working, bitch.
Well, and they knew that like that phone call was helping pay for that boat.
Yeah.
But they knew that like I made a commitment to them that after 5, it's all you guys. I don't need to respond. If somebody emails me or calls me after 5, they can wait till tomorrow. But up until 5, I owe it to the business and our vendors and our people and everybody that like I'm at your availability up until 5.
Yeah.
And so even there, the boys are learning work-life balance principles, and they're learning that if you want to get anywhere in life, you have to go hard in a certain direction. And that means that other things are going to drop. The yard is going to look like shit. The car is not going to get washed as often. Like, the relationships are going to see a little bit of a strain. That's fine.
That's what creates growth.
Right.
And that's just what happens. That's right. Called successful life,
right?
Not just life. You know, I'm not a big, I'm an okay Dave Ramsey fan, I guess. I think he takes advantage of fucking idiots a lot to make his money. But like, you know, I've listened to his show a few times, and one thing that stuck out was, you know, people are always, you know, calling in, well, I don't want that second job. I got my kids, and I don't want to them to feel like I wasn't there, or look back and, you know, I didn't have the memories or whatever and this and that. And he was like, well, first off, and I'm not quoting him, this is me, that's bullshit.
Right.
Okay. What you're going to do is set a great example of what it takes to be successful. Mm-hmm. And two, when you get out, do fun things. And the example he gave, ironically, is, you know, we would take the boat out at 6 p.m. at night, and we'd get a few hours in on a school night.
Yeah.
And that would just spur, you know, before it got too cold, that would spur them on.
Yep.
And they loved it. And those were some of their greatest memories, were just 2 hours. Dad worked hard all freaking day, and still, even though he was tired, made time for us after that.
Right.
You know? And that, like I said, I'm not a big Dave Ramsey fan, but that stuck with me.
Right.
Like, you know, you are leading by example 24/7, 365 when it comes to your kids.
Yep.
What do you want to teach them?
Yep.
Do you want to teach them it's okay to sit around on your fucking fat ass and eat bonbons and watch Netflix?
Right.
Or do you want to teach them that if you work hard, you can have whatever you want?
Right.
And there is still time for fun after that. You can still be there for your kids even when you're working hard.
It got brought up today. We've been so busy with a lot of other things going on. Our youngest came up to Danielle today and he was like, hey, are we doing a family vacation this summer? And Danielle was like, no. Haven't even thought about it. Like,
yeah,
totally blip off the radar, right?
Well, and you guys are doing stuff all, you know what I mean?
I mean, we're pretty active in general.
Yeah.
But even finding the time to take a, you know, a week and go do something. And so Danielle tells me about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we haven't even thought about that yet this year. We didn't really take one last year. Last year, we bought the boat, and we spent a lot of time on the boat. Yeah. And so
we went down to
Lake of the Ozarks and got down there. We used the boat as kind of like our reason for a family vacation last year. Well, this year, I looked at our calendar, and Danielle was like, hey, we haven't really planned a family vacation. And I'm like, hey, you're right, we haven't. And so we looked at the calendar and everything, and like last week of July is literally the only opportunity we have for a family vacation.
Bring the boys to Vegas.
And so we're not going to bring them to Vegas, but what we're going to do, so Vegas is on the 26th, which is the Saturday before the last week of July.
Yeah.
I think what we're planning on doing is it might be a crazy travel day on Sunday, maybe Monday, but we're going to try to find a cruise. Which is funny because my wife swore she'd never go on another cruise.
I will never go on a cruise.
We're going to try to find a cruise to go on for the last week of July. This is, again, work-life balance stuff. We have enough stuff going on that we don't really have time to plan a vacation.
And a cruise is a planned vacation.
Yeah, we don't really have the creative bandwidth to plan a vacation. And so it's like, well, let's just go on a cruise, and then that shapes the outline of the vacation.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to find shit to do along the way.
Yeah, during the cruise.
During the cruise, right? And so that's, you know, we're going to try that and see. We've got a local friend that's a travel agent that's going to try to get us a good deal and everything, and we'll see what happens.
I would like to get their information, by the way.
Yeah.
Because this is so stupid. Last year, we decided, every year we're going to go to Anna Maria Island and we're going to rent a beach house. And if families want to go, we're going to invite certain families. Like we had three families with us last time.
Okay.
That hurricane hit and smoked that island. So we have nowhere to go. So we're actually thinking about going to Gulf Shores this year and just getting a condo on the beach. The girls like to be in the sand, eating seafood, not doing nothing crazy. It's cheap, man. You can get to Gulf Shores for like... in like 3 hours.
I'm texting you our person Perfect. Right now.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I'm glad you said that because I've been meaning to ask you for like a month.
Yeah.
I just keep forgetting.
So that's a long time family. It's a family friend of ours for 15, 20 years.
Oh, nice.
And she's recently started like a little travel agency thing. It's kind of a side thing.
Normally I like doing, and I know we're going to wrap up the show here. I like doing my own. Like, we book our own house and we do this and do that. But it's always because we know someone that's been there, so we have connections. But now we're thinking about going to somewhere completely new, and it's like, oh, shit.
Right.
Maybe I'll go down and see Todd and George when we're down there, because I don't think Louisiana's that far.
No.
I don't think New Orleans. Did I say that right?
I don't, like, I want to get my boys to New Orleans. I've never been there, but I don't feel my boys are old enough yet.
No.
Like, when I take them to New Orleans, I want them to experience New Orleans for how it should be experienced.
You want them to be 28 and 26.
I definitely want them over 18, probably maybe over 21.
Dude, you want to take them to Bourbon Street.
Right, right. I want to be able to... I've never been either, but like to enjoy it for what it can be enjoyed for, like that's totally a trip that's on the shelf waiting for a future date.
Yeah.
And if something tragic were to happen between now and then, I wouldn't regret it because I think that's a trip where you can only appreciate it at a certain age.
Yeah.
It's not like the Grand Canyon. You can take a 6-year-old to the Grand Canyon and they're amazed. You can take a 67-year-old to the Grand Canyon and they're amazed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? New Orleans... Yeah. Age is a factor there. It's kind of like Vegas. Vegas age is a factor as well. Now, we've taken our boys to Vegas. But, like, walking down the street smelling weed and watching chicks with pasties on their nipples, and our boys are just like, you see that? Right?
Yeah, but I did. That one looked just like your mother. Yeah. Like
your mom's boobs are better, but you don't know that.
I don't... That you just completely blanked my mind.
Yeah.
The thing I like about going to the beach on the Gulf all the time is the food.
Yeah,
like I love fresh seafood in general.
My neighbor Jared just got back from there,
dude,
2 days ago.
Like we can go to the best seafood restaurant here where they fly it in like the day before and eat it. It is not the same.
It's not the same.
It's just not. So as long as we go to somewhere...
Because you know it sat in a freezer for 3 days before they flew it here.
As long as you go on the Gulf, anywhere on the Gulf that has great restaurants and is a, not even a high-scale place, just a nice place, there's going to be great food around it.
Like, I've never done it yet, but I want to do the thing where you go deep-sea fishing, and then there are restaurants that will fry up or cook up your catch.
It's called Chef's Catch or Fisherman's Catch. So when we went to Anna Maria the first time, we didn't go offshore fishing. We just went bay fishing and we took our fish there.
Yeah.
And they pulled out, dude, they said, well, how do you want it? We said, you know, what are our options? Like, well, we do it 4 different ways. We can just do it 1 way, 2 way, or all ways and
like
just bring
grilled,
it out.
Like grilled, fried, spicy grilled or spicy fried maybe?
Yeah. It was, so they saute it, fried. They grilled some of it, and I don't remember what the other one was now that I think about it. But they brought it out on a platter that was like this big.
Yeah.
And they just said, here you go. And then they give you all the fixings and everything, and you just order a la carte after that.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was freaking great. The last time we went, I know we're getting completely off topic and going late, but the last time we went, Josh, the captain of the boat that we went on, he filleted it all up for us, gave it to us. Well, we had had that house. Well, it was a full kitchen, full grill. We cooked it right there.
Yeah.
And it was...
You take it home and cook it.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Ate it an hour later.
Yep.
Just like we would here. It was great. But my point was, you know, as long as we're going on the Gulf somewhere, the girls can have the beach and do their own thing. As long as I'm eating good food,
right.
I don't care.
Let me...
Fish, good food, a little bit of beach, I'm happy. You know what we should do? Tradewinds needs to buy a condo on the beach somewhere. Tradewinds Events, instead of being in Kansas City in February when it's cold, we can just have it at a beach house. Limited to 10, guys. Sorry.
I'm double checking my... Yes. So when we went deep sea fishing 2 years ago...
Did you go... When you say deep sea, could you see the shore?
No.
Okay.
No, we were...
Did you get seasick? Did you take Dramamine?
I did not. One of our guys did.
Did he not take his Dramamine?
He
was super hungover and drunk.
Sorry
as
for
fuck.
Him, but he was like proud, like pounding his chest of like, you guys are going to get sick. And then he was the one that got sick. But the boat that we were on had a lot of exhaust fumes that were kind of hovering in the open air of the back of the boat.
Yep.
And if you went up onto the front of the boat, you were fine. But if you were in the back, like it was a little...
Make you nauseous.
Yeah, kind of overwhelming.
You could tell he had never owned a carbureted motor before.
I don't know. But we caught a lot of these fish, and they started cooking them on the back of the boat using nothing but lime juice and sunlight. And they put it in a bowl. They cut it up into small chunks. They put lime juice over it, and then they stir the bowl in the direct sunlight.
Yeah. So and, it's almost raw, but barely, but a little cooked.
Right. Yeah. And so they call it, I just looked it up, they call it ceviche. And that is where it's cooked by marinating in citrus juices, which denature the protein similar to how heat would. The process results in the fish becoming an opaque and firm. And so we would take like this pink fish, and you'd ceviche it, and it would firmen up a little, it would toughen up, and it would turn like a gray color. But my God, it was the best fish I've ever eaten in my life.
I have, Jenny and I have talked a lot about retirement and what retirement's going to look like. And the constant
battle.
Let's
be real, you're going to buy a place on Anna Marie Island. I know it.
The constant, that's a whole nother conversation. The constant battle is hunting ground near a lake so you can hunt. Fish, enjoy the
outdoors.
I got
news for you, Dave. The deer in Florida, they're like feminine deer. They're like, hey.
Or on the ocean somewhere, you get your own bay boat and you can ocean fish.
There you go.
And bay fish. Dude, I'm telling you, they're like, I love inshore fishing. It's fantastic. But man.
I know.
It's
good.
So much fun. The fish is good. You never know what you're going to catch. You never know what you're going to run into.
Yep.
It's just, it is exciting every time you fucking go.
So the last time we went to Cancun, I reached out to the exact same charter to take my boys deep sea fishing.
They were all in San Diego.
And Grant didn't want to go, but Mason did. And this was in Cancun. I called him up and I thought we were going to get the same experience. And so as we caught fish, I'm like, hey, let's cook them up on the back of the boat. And they were like, oh, we don't have all the stuff. You should have told us that was what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man. So now anytime I ever go deep sea fishing, I'm going to tell them out of the gate when I'm setting it up.
Yeah.
Make sure to be ready to ceviche some fish on the boat because I'm not kidding.
I'm sure not all of them do it, but. Yeah.
Like being able to cook a fish within 3 minutes of catching it and eat it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Dude, when you go to the Gulf and they bring it in, so they go out in the morning and they fish and they bring it in. Like these restaurants don't open till 4. They're
right.
Like dinner only. So those guys are bringing it in at noon, 1, 2, whatever. And then you're eating that shit at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck off.
It is good shit.
Fuck off. It's so good.
So that's part of the life balance of work-life balance, right?
Yeah.
Enjoying life to the fullest. But in other words, or to kind of wrap this thing up, as you're building your business, don't think you're going to have nights and weekends off. Even if you have a night or a weekend off, you don't have it off mentally. You have it off physically, but you're still thinking about the business. You're still thinking about all the things you have to do. You're thinking about the systems and processes you need to create to make your business more streamlined. Focus on that. The good times will come.
Yeah, when your kid comes up and jumps on your lap for 30 minutes, shut that off. Enjoy that 30 minutes. But when that kid's off,
go right back.
Go right back.
Right. And focus on that. And I promise you the returns are coming. It's just a matter of time. And the way the barometer for you as a business owner is understanding, is my business getting easier to run or more difficult to run? And if it's easier to run, then you have two options. Option one is we want to, if it's easier to run, that means you're getting more systems and processes in place. If it's getting more difficult to run, that means as your business grows its abilities, you're also adding challenges to the business. And so that may make it more difficult to run. But ultimately, over the long enough period of time, you want to be able to do more or do the same easier. And if you start seeing those things come around, you're going to see that your work-life balance starts to open up a little bit. And it may be going 5 years ham in the business for 5 years of fun in the family.
Yep.
It's not like 8 hours of fun in the business to 8 hours of fun in the family.
Yeah. People want to antiquate work-life balance to 9 to 5.
Yeah.
When I'm done at 5, my mind shuts off and that's it.
No.
They have me from 9 to 5. When you're a business owner, 9 to 5 don't exist.
Yeah. You're going to go hard in the paint for 5 to 10 years. And then here's the balance. Here's where the scale starts tipping the other way. I got more time to spend with family. I got more time to spend with my kids, all of those things. And that may scare you. That may mean the timing's not right. Maybe your kid's 12 right now, and you don't want to spend the last 5 years of his adolescence or her adolescence as a business owner. Cool.
Yeah.
Put the business on the back burner for 5 years. Enjoy the time with your kid and then focus on the business after they've kind of cycled out of the house a little bit.
Remember, we used to talk about this all the time, especially in the first episodes. It's never too late.
No.
50 ain't too late, guys.
Yeah.
35 ain't too late.
If you wonder how late it can be, look up how old Ray Kroc was whenever he started McDonald's. Look how old Colonel Sanders was whenever he started KFC.
Yeah.
Look at how old those guys were. It is not too late. Don't think it's crazy urgent, but just recognize that work-life balance is a myth, and you'll get there eventually, but right now it's time to work. So,
well said, buddy.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.